God, praise God. Want to just continue a little bit talking just some things we're going to face in the last days. I believe just a few more things God will help us with. Last days, Jesus tarries, we'll face some difficult times. I don't know exactly what that'll be, but He did tell us it would be some times of difficulty, but He also told us He'll be with us. So I'm not worried about it, but I want to be prepared. And I just want to be aware of the enemies and what he can do. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I believe one thing we must have in these last days, church, is you must have a hunger for the truth. Yes, you've got to have a desire for the truth. Because they're going through everything to try to take the truth away from you and deceive you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Can you say amen to God's words? Amen. You may be seated. I want to share another point here of to know the truth and to not let the truth slip from us. In this day, it is an hour. Paul speaks here, and again, writing to Timothy, just tells us that the Spirit is speaking to me, and it's letting me know that in the latter times, which I believe that we are in today, there is going to be some that's going to depart from the faith. There's going to be people who once knew the faith, they're going to leave the faith. And they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It tells us there's going to be people, I believe, that are going to, in the sense, just genuinely backslide and go back into sin, pick up the things of the world, start living for the flesh and self. They're going to just try to live in the pleasures of sin. But there's also going to be people who are not just going to go that route and leaving the truth, but they are going to pick up false doctrines. They're going to be those who will now give heed to things that are not of the gospel. They are false. They're going, as the sister talked about, the one that is now in the Jehovah Witness. There's going to be those kinds of people. There will be people who just backslide. They're not going to say that what they understand is not right. They're just going to backslide. They're going to go out and sin. But there's also those going to be that still think they're right, but they're going to go act into false doctrines and seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If it's not of God's Word, then it is a doctrine of devil. If it's not of God's Word, then it's a lie. As he talks about there, speaking lies and hypocrisy. And they're going to have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their truth will not be able to penetrate because they have done seared their conscience from the truth. As I mentioned this morning, I already read it to you in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul also writes to him that there's going to be a time when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they're going to heed to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They're going to heed to themselves. They want teachers. They want the man of God, if I can put it that way, or men. They're going to want these kind of men that are going to want to share the Word of God and teach them and preach to them things that they want to hear. Things that are going to satisfy their flesh. They're not going to want to hear sound doctrine. They're not going to want to endure sound doctrine that's going to correct them, that's going to touch them. Their soul that's going to minister to them of truth. They want things that's going to tell them that what they are doing is okay and that they can continue to go on to heaven in their lifestyle, that God will look over their sins, that God will pardon the things they are doing, that you can't live without sin today. All kinds of these doctrines of devils that the Scripture talks about, they want to hear these kind of messages. But they're not of God's. John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God's. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. These are the kinds of things that we will be facing in the last days, church. These will be men that will be preaching these false doctrine. It can be as much as a lukewarm gospel. It can be as much as a Jehovah Witness that seem to have a form of godliness, even a holiness standard, but are not preaching a message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It can be these people who are given over to Muslims and Buddhists and all kinds of these false doctrines that's going to entice people to and draw them with a great strength to draw them into this. Yeah. And this is the kind of spirit that we'll have among us. A seducing spirit. A seducing spirit that will pull and tag at people to come and give heed to these doctrines of devils. And we must do everything we can on our part, church, to know the truth. We must know what is real, church. We must know that what we have is truth, and what we believe, it must be settled in our heart that this is the right way. The Scripture tells us in Proverbs, if you'll turn over there, in Proverbs chapter 23. Let me get over there. We can quote this real easy. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. If I wanted you to look at this, it's a good Scripture to mark. Proverbs chapter 23, he tells us to buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth. This is telling us that the truth is going to cost you something. For you to buy the truth, you have to purchase it. It's going to cost you something. Thank God we have truth that's preached to us. Thank God it's here. But I'm telling you, you've got to buy it. You've got to want it. You've got to be willing to make the sacrifice for it. You've got to be willing to take heed to it and say, yes, this is what I want. I want the truth. And he tells us to buy the truth in the Scripture and sell it not. Don't let it get away from you. Don't be willing to let the truth be sold from your life. Take heed to it. Buy it. Purchase it. This is what I want. I'm telling you, if you want something bad enough, it don't matter how much it costs, you will purchase it. You will save the money. You will make the sacrifice to have it because this is what you want. And I'm telling you, you've got to set on your heart, I want the truth. And no matter what it costs me, I'm willing to pay for it. It may not necessarily be talking about money here. It could be talking about persecution. It could be talking about tribulation. Different things that you may face because you want the truth. Yeah. It could be talking about your family hating you. It could be talking about loved ones forsaking you. It could be talking about losing your job because you're willing to buy the truth and sell it not. This is what it will cost you in these last days. Take heed to it. Paul, I believe, in Christ many times throughout the Scripture tells us in the last days there will be men that will come. They will be coming with a false doctrine and they will probably be trying to seduce men to take heed to these doctrines of devils. And this is among us today, church. And you must buy the truth. Don't let it get away from you. Grab a hold of it and say, I'm not letting go of this truth. Many men have fallen. Many women have fallen who have known the truth. But they let it slip from them. And don't say it won't happen to me. If you don't fight for it, if you don't willing to pay the price, it will slip from you also. Amen. Take heed to God's words and what the enemy's trying to do and taking the truth from us. Amen. By the truth. I'm telling you, our government and everything that was going on is trying to push God out everything. They're trying to get God out everything. They're trying to get Christ out of everything. And I'm telling you, it's going to come down to the time that you're going to have to make a sacrifice for this truth. This truth is going to cost you. And you got to be willing to pay for it. Right. And I'm not talking about money. Go ahead. I know with the bombings and things that's been going on. And that's kind of wrapped up our news media today. But the homosexual agenda is still on the roll. It's still a big priority in this country. And the homosexual agenda is on the move. And we got to be willing, church, to stand up for what's right, no matter what it costs us. I was told, and you can take this, I wasn't there, I was told this, so you can just take it for what it's worth, but most of you know Frederick Schmidt, I believe that's his name, kind of an end times prophecy man. And he was in Tarbo a while back, and he was preaching, teaching, doing his seminar, and he was preaching on this homosexual agenda and the things that's going on today. Was able to lay out a lot of information that is happening that we don't even really know about. A lot of things we don't see and we don't hear about, but they're very wealthy movements. They've got money. People are backing them up. You got a lot of the Hollywood and movie stars and things that are promoting their agenda. And he was preaching about with the homosexual agenda and what's going on and the things that's taking place in this country, that there will come a time that men will be arrested for preaching against the homosexual. And there was a deputy sheriff in the audience at that time, and when he was preaching this, and he didn't really believe him, but he went to his captain, a man who was not a Christian, but he went to his captain and asked him, he said, "How soon will it be before I have to arrest my pastor for preaching against homosexuals?" And the captain told him, no less than 2 years. In 2 years, I see that being something you'll have to do. Like I said, you can take that for what it's worth. But a lot of times that brings fear. That brings fear to people. I told my wife that, and I don't think she'll mind, but it kind of grips us, you know. It brings fear. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? What am I going to do if I'm in jail? What are you going to do if one of your ministers are in jail? I hope you'll help take care of us. If one of you get arrested, Brother Ross can get arrested for preaching against these things. We're going to help each other. We're going to stand on the principle of truth, and we're going to be willing to bind together and help each other. You're going to find you need the truth, and you're going to need each other more than ever in the last days. You can't have this mindset. Well, you shouldn't have said that. You can't have that mindset. You need to back the man. You need to back that one that's preaching. If he's preaching truth, I'm willing to stand with you. Those 11 that got up and stood with Peter on the day of Pentecost, they didn't know what was going to happen to them. But they stood up with Peter. Amen. We're behind you, Peter. Preach it. Yeah. We're here. Those Roman soldiers, they could have arrested them. They could have took them out right then. Right. But they didn't. Was not afraid of that. They was willing to take a stand for the truth. And I hope that we will do the same thing. That we will proclaim the truth. If they lock us up, they take things away, so be it. Stand for what's right. Amen. Brother John said, "If we lose it all, what's the matter? You're going to lose it all one day anyhow. We're going to heaven. Praise God. There's no U-Hauls behind the hearse. You're not taking it with you. Amen. Be willing to stand for what's right in these last days. Take a hold of truth and don't let it go. Praise God. And I don't say those things to scare us, but we got to be strong, church. Be strong in the Lord." And it's not just homosexual. It's going to be a lot of different things that's going on. I'm telling you, of course, it has to do with homosexual, but same-sex marriage, abortion, all these things that's going on, church. Men trying to become women and women trying to become men. And all these things that we're going to have to take a stand against. They're not just going to walk away from it. All we got to do is buy that truth, church, and don't let it go. Buy it and don't let it go. And I believe, church, that you'll look out for us or whoever it is. Praise God. We get arrested, I'm going to trust God. He said, "That's easy to say now." Well, it is easy when you ain't got nobody standing there running with handcuffs. That is easy. But if I know my heart, I'm going to take a stand for what's right. And I hope the truth don't embarrass you. I hope you'll be willing to stay in also. Yeah. Amen. So buy the truth and sell it not. And in the last days, believe God will take care of you. Believe God will see you through. We heard stories today how God provided for those men of old and years ago. I can tell you stories. You can tell us stories. God provided. God made a way. We got to get back to those times of trusting God to see us through everything.
That's right.
We're living in an hour when we don't have it, we just put it on credit card. If we don't have it, we just, you know, we can get the money some way. Everything's easy at our hands. I'm telling you, when things are bellying up, you're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
And you're going to have to trust God. Believe in God. Put your trust in Him. Luke chapter 1, if you'll go with me there. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, notice. You're familiar with the story with Mary, mother of Jesus, and how the angel of the Lord visited her. Now let's back up to verse 30 there. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not." I'm in chapter 1, verse 30. "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That seems impossible, don't it? That seems impossible. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy son Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age." Two miracles here. Two miracles. Something that is impossible with man. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that today? I'm not just reading you some kind of words here. I'm reading you the book of life. I'm reading you the truth. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto according to thy words." And the angel departed from her. In these last days, church, whatever you face, whatever situation, God will see you through it, church.
Amen.
Believe God. All things are possible to them that believe. There's nothing that God cannot do for us. He will take care of us. He'll see us through. If death comes, He will guide us and lead us through it. And not forsake us. These last days, you've got to be convinced. You've got to trust God. You've got to be convinced of God's Word is right. And put your trust in it and put your faith in God's.
Amen.
Glory to God. We find it throughout the Scriptures. How God did great things. And how God led the people and took care of them. And provided for them when they didn't have no other way but to turn to God. And God saw them through. They trusted God. And God saw them through, church. God saw them. And God made a way for them. There's nothing impossible with God, church. James. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. But verse 6. He tells us, "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't doubt God. Believe God. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all the ways." If you've got doubt, it hinders God.
Yes, it does.
It hinders God. Ask in faith. Don't doubt. We have a problem. "Oh God, you didn't do it today." Then doubt comes in. "Oh God, won't sustain you another day." God will help you through another day. You go to God and you ask God again. You help. You pray. And God may not answer right then. You just keep asking. You keep praying.
Amen.
You keep trusting God. That's not doubts. That's confidence. I'm going to the one who can help me.
Right.
And keep calling on God. Don't doubt God.
Right.
Believe God.
Yes.
You're going to need this in the last days, church. Yes. Praise God. Be convinced. God cares for you. God cares for you. Have you settled that in your heart? That God cares for you, church?
Yeah.
Are you convinced of that?
Oh, yeah.
Are you convinced? God wants what's best for you. He cares for you. He wants to see you through everything. Be convinced of it. God cares for you. Notice the scriptures in 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Verse 7. Tells us here to cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I understand what Brother Woods was saying Wednesday night, and I don't think he mind me saying. He wasn't telling us that God doesn't want you to bring our problems to Him. That's not what he was saying. God wants us to cast our cares upon Him. But a lot of times what we struggle with, church, is that's all we do with God is cast our cares on Him. We don't love God. We don't cherish God. We don't spend time in God's Word. We just keep casting our cares upon Him. And there's nothing wrong with casting your cares, but God is not a puppet, some genie you can just go and rub and your problem be solved. That's not what He was wanting from us. God wants us to love Him supremely above everything. And then cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. The problem today is a lot of people are serving God for the loaves and the fishes. They want the benefits of God, but they don't want the teaching of God.
Amen.
It's what the early in Christ, when He walked the earth, that was the problem. They followed Him for those benefits.
Yeah.
But when Christ started saying, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, they started disappearing.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening today. The churches are full because they want the benefits of God. And the message is not being preached. You've got to eat His flesh and drink His blood.
Right.
And we just want God, give me, give me, give me, God. And God is not going to put up with that. I believe that's what God spoke to us. You love me first, supremely. I'll take care of you. But you just can't come and cast all your cares upon me and not make me first in your life. Today, in these last days, church, if God is not first in your life, you will not make it. You will not buy the truth. You'll believe a lie. You will not surrender to Him completely and give your all. You'll go another route. But He tells us, surrender to me completely.
Amen.
And today we must do that, church. We must do as He told us there in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, church. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God will exalt us. God will do great things and mighty things through this church. But it's not going to be with pride.
Right, sir. Right.
It'll be through humility.
Yes, right.
When pride starts to creep in, I thank God He spoke to us. But when that pride starts to creep in, church, God will shut it down.
Yes, yes.
I thank God He spoke to us and is telling us it's because of Him that we have what we have. It's because of Him that we're reaching out to other people. It's because of Him that we're blessing other people with the Word of God. It's not our own power. It's not our own benefits. It's not our own ability. God has done this for us. And many of people fell that God used in a mighty way because that pride crept in. Then they started depending on self. And then they fail. God's going to do some great things for us, church. But you got to stay humble before God. You got to stay humble before God. If God uses you to do a miracle, if God uses you to a prophecy comes true, whatever it may be, you better stay humble before God. Don't let that pride. Don't have that pride and be puffed up. I'm better than the other churches. No. You put yourself against God's Word. And you compare yourself against God's words. And see how you stand. See how you stand compared to God's Word. And humble yourself in the sight of God. And then God can do great and mighty things. But you're going to have to humble yourself. You can't come before God with pride and expecting God to do it. Lost, spoiled children are expecting their parents to buy them things. To do this for them. To buy the best of clothes and shoes and games and all that stuff. They're expecting their parents to do it. And they're raising up spoiled kids.
Right.
And God's not going to have that in His church with us.
Amen.
I am expecting God to take care of me.
Yes.
But I'm going humbly before Him.
That's right.
I'm going humbly before God and say, God, I need You. God, I got to have You.
Yeah.
I ain't going with arrogance saying, God, You've got to do this.
No.
I'm going to humble myself before God.
Yes.
God, You're going to do great and mighty things. I want You to use me. I want to be humble. I pray many times, God, if I'm just seeking You and serving You because of problems, I prayed this several weeks ago. God, if I'm just coming and spending time in prayer because I've got problems in my life, I don't want to serve You that way. I don't want to serve You just because I've got problems. I don't want to come and spend time in prayer just because I got difficulties. God, I want to serve You. I want to spend time in communion with You because I love You.
That's right. Amen.
Not because I just want You to take care of my problems and take them away. That's the wrong mindset for us.
Right. Amen.
Come to God and love God.
Amen.
Tell Him of your problems. It's all right. But love Him. It's all He wants. Love me with all your heart. That's all your desires. Your desire, give it all to God.
Oh, yeah.
Love Him with that heart. That's where your desire comes from. And He's wanting that. He commands that. And that's what He's going to take. God, give me your heart. That's what He's saying. Give me your heart. And He tells us, love me with all your heart. Love me with all your soul. That soul is talking about life, your being. Who you are. Love God with all your ability, all your soul, your life.
Go ahead.
It has to be 100% to God.
Yes.
You can't give. A lot of people give on Sundays and that's it. What little bit they're given.
Right.
And then the rest of the week they don't even talk to God. They don't even spend time in God's words. They're wrapped up with everything else in this world. And then come Sunday they'll bring God back out of the box and take Him to church.
Yeah.
And God say, no, You love me with all your being. That means when you go to work tomorrow, you love God. God's first. Those men, they want to cuss and do all kinds of things and say all kinds of things. You're going to love God first more than that job.
Right.
And whatever you may face, you're going to trust God and serve Him.
Amen.
With all your being. Whatever I'm going to do tomorrow. Whatever I'm going to face, I've got to have God first.
Right.
All your soul talks about too. Then all your mind.
Yes.
Our thinking has got to match up with God's Word.
Yeah.
Our thinking has got to match up with God's Word. We ain't got time to debate God's Word and try to change it to what we want. We got to take it for what it says.
Yes. Amen.
And believe in it.
Right.
And trust in it.
Yeah.
And serve what it says. Do what it says. All your mind, all your thinking. It does seem strange. Some of these testimonies. It seems ridiculous to do some of these things. People think that's crazy. But I'm not thinking according to man's thinking. And man's mindset. That is crazy. Start off cross country. And don't have enough money to get there. Think about it.
Right.
Now see, if you think about it with man's ways, you'd say the same thing.
Right.
That's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's dumb. A lot of people thought we had done, went crazy because we started in a church across the road here in a barn. Started a church in a barn.
Yes.
And they thought we had went Lolo or Lulu, however you guys say that stuff. Thought we was crazy. But we knew God spoke. And we just did what God told us.
Amen.
Had no money. Had a handful of people. And we had a place of worship. And that's all we needed.
Yeah.
We had enough people to have church. And we had a place to worship. And God met with us, church. We didn't try to think things through. This is not going to work. You got to have a nice building. You got to have chandeliers. You got to have a nice place. No. We didn't think that way.
Come on.
We thought according to what God told us.
Amen.
And we didn't debate with God. God, you got to give us this first. No. We did what God told us.
Yeah.
I moved up here. And didn't have a job, didn't have nothing. A man told me I could park my camper on his lot, and that was good enough for me. It's all I needed. And I came. I didn't come look and see if I could get a job here first and all that stuff. God told me to come, so I come. You stop and think about that, Brother John, that's dumb. This is dumb as can be. But God told us to do it. God's told you to do it. And if you stop to think about it, you think that is the craziest thing I ever heard.
Hey, bro.
But God told you to do it.
Right.
Just love me with all your mind. Put your trust in me.
Yeah.
Don't trust the flesh, the arm of the flesh, and the thinking of this world. Trust me. And then He says, love me with all your strength. Praise God. I got to get back to that, church.
Right.
All that you have. I'm going to give to God. I'm going to pour out every ability I have. These men of God, these old timers, they sacrificed until their bodies were worn out. They worn out. I remember, Wade Horton. I believe we got the name right. Wade Horton. I remember when he came to Paul Creek, that one tent meeting he had before he got where he couldn't even do nothing. But they had to carry him to the pulpit. Literally had to help him. And that man got up there and he had preached many a messages for the Lord. Gave himself to God and the work of the Lord. He got up there and he was so feeble. And he got to preaching and he beat on that pulpit. And I kid you not, he split it in two. That old man, he couldn't have strength to get up there. And he preached and he beat down that pulpit while he was preaching. And it split the pulpit in two. They couldn't use it no more. These men, they gave all they had, church. They gave their strength until they couldn't go no more, church. Until their bodies were wore slam out. Men will wear their bodies slam out for football and for sports and for all these things to make the millions of dollars and stuff. And then they will die and they won't have any life, but they will spend hell, life in hell forever and ever. And they gave themselves to carnal and ungodly things. Why can't we give ourselves to something that's going to last forever and ever and ever? 1,000 years from now, we'll still be receiving the reward from it. You ain't going to get no pats on the back here. The world's going to hate you. But give it to God, and God will remember it for eternity. Praise God. Men would give every dollar they had to the work of the Lord. To the ministry. My brother Mesher, he told me, he didn't say tell me in secret, but he just told me he goes and preaches revival after revival and don't even give enough gas money. And then they'll take the tithes out of what they give to him. Churches will do that time after time. And here this man's giving himself. Never had a public job. Never had a public job. Always was preaching the gospel. These men of God, these old timers, they gave all their strength. Young people, give all that you've got while your bodies are able and while you physically have the strength. When you get older, give what's left. Sometimes, Brother John, don't seem like we got much left, but we got to give what we got, brother. We got to give it all to God. In these last days, it will be worth it all.
Yeah.
Praise God. Am I preaching okay to you? Is it making sense? Praise God. That's what it's going to take in these last days. Believe God is going to take care of you, church. He will not forsake you. Glory to God. Depend on the Spirit, church. Depend on God. Don't depend on the arm of the flesh. 1 Corinthians, turn with me. I'm hurrying. I'm closing up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice here in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, behold as in the glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Notice with me, I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures for a comment on it. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. These last days, church, you've got to depend on the Spirit of God more than ever. You've got to depend on the Spirit of God more than ever. A lot of times we do not do that, church. And what I want to bring out, and depending on the Spirit of God, as He told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, He says, with open face, behold, He has in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, He tells us, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Depend on the Spirit. He will not lead you down the wrong path. When the Spirit of God is convicting you or stirring you, telling you, directing you in a direction to go with your life, dealing with you about things, depend on Him. He will not lead you astray. What He is wanting from you is to take you from glory to glory. He's wanting to mold you and shape you into the image of Christ. And the Spirit is going to deal with you about things. You can't draw closer to God if you're not willing to take heed to the Spirit and the promptings of the Spirit. Ask Him to search you. God, what's in my life I need to change? And when God deals with you, settle in your heart. The Spirit's not going to lead you down the wrong path. If He tells you, you've got to quit doing this, then quit doing it. Let Him work in your life. When He tells you, you've got to be more faithful here, be more faithful here. When He tells you, you've got to take a stand for what's right, take a stand. We say, well, if I do that, it's going to cost me my job. It's going to cost me my friendship. It's going to cost me a relationship. I'm telling you, God will lead you down the right path. Right. If it costs you, it costs you. Right. But you can quench the Spirit also. He told us that in the two verses I gave you. And it's not, we think a lot of times of quenching the Spirit. We a lot of times think that when we're in a service and the Spirit's moving and we do something wrong or something happens and the Spirit, it shuts down, the service shuts down. And that's true. You've probably seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I've been there preaching. And it's time to get to preaching. You know, this is a bad time to have to preach. Things aren't going, something's wrong here. That's why I always, when I'm leading the service, I want to make sure our minds are right, our hearts are right to receive the Word of God. Because I know what it's like to get up when people are not ready to receive it. It's hard.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Emery, it's hard. I mean, it's like pulling teeth, man. It's just hard. And everybody wants to preach in camp meeting, Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But you can do something in that service to quench the Spirit. You can have a wrong mindset. You can have wrong thoughts. Whatever. And that's true. But you can quench the Spirit in your life. In your life personally. The Spirit can be dealing with you and can be working with you. And you can just refuse. And you can quench the Spirit. You can stop the Spirit from working in your life. And you'll go back time after time and pray. Seek God. And God's brought something up to you. You've got to do this. It may be a relationship. It may be whatever it may be. And you say, I'm not doing this. I can't do this. You can quench the spirits in your life. And you can go back and pray. And there it is. He's not going to say, okay, well, let's go a different route then. No. He's going to keep bringing it right back up. Because He wants to take you from glory to glory. And He's going to root it out of you. Well, you're not going any farther. And if you refuse, you can quench the Spirit in your life. And I'm telling you, when you get down to pray and you don't feel God, it's a miserable thing. It's a miserable time in your life. You know, I got to do this, but I don't want to do this. And God, come, give me a break. And you just quench in the Spirit. And quench in the Spirit. And He makes it harder and harder. And you can't go no further until you do what God said. Until you do what God said.
Yes.
This last Sunday when I gave that message, that was the hardest thing I ever said. God spoke to my heart, and I mean, it came to me just like that. I wrestled with God. I said, God, I can't say this. They will be so upset at me if I tell them these things. And the more I rejected it, the more the Spirit felt like He was twisting my guts, my insides. And I was a trembling. And it came to the point my God told me, the Spirit said, you do it now or you are in trouble. That's what He told me. Because it seems like every time I give a message out, it's bad news or something. I thought, God, last time I gave one out, I told you all it was carnal. I thought, God, if I go do this, I am going to be... Praise God. But I'm so glad I did, church. Because I would have been terribly miserable. My wife wouldn't even live with me if I wouldn't have done it. Praise God. But I could have quenched the Spirit, Brother Gordon. You can quench the spirits. Others gave out messages. You can quench that spirit.
Yes.
And you can quench the Spirit in your life. And I'm telling you, in these last days, you got to do what the Spirit leads you to do. Do what He says. Whatever He tells you. If He tells you you're working too much, you're doing this too much, you got to give me more time. Whatever it is, church.
Yes.
Don't quench the Spirit.
Right.
Praise God. Let me give you one more. One more. I've got several. Praise God. I'm not going to tell you every time. I'm going to give you one more. This will be the last one. Praise God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Put your faith in God. Trust God. Trust Him, church. I am not here to be a doom and gloom preacher. I am here to encourage you. God is going to take care of us.
Right.
We can't have problems. I mean, we got to have problems to see God work. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. And problems will make us strong. Amen?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Settle that in your hearts. Be strong in the faith. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. To who? To them that love God. Everybody got their Bible? Will you read that with me? I want us to read. I want you to be settled in your heart this evening, this afternoon. Everybody ready? Everybody got their Bible? We're going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We're going to read the whole thing together. Ready? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow, Brother John, but I know that all things work together for good. I am a child of God, and God will take care of me. And whatever I may face tomorrow, God is going to bring good out of it.
Amen.
That's my God.
Amen.
The world can bring me harm. The world can bring me tribulation. The world can bring me persecution. And God can take it and make good out of it.
Yeah.
That's the power of our God. That's how He works. And you're going to have to be strong in the faith in these last days. Whatever. Paul was thrown in prison. A jailer was saved in his household. God brought good out of it.
Amen.
Praise God. This brother had to have his van blowed up so this brother could be blessed by giving him one. Amen. I ain't kidding you. All things work together for good. Amen. Praise God. So when the problem comes, don't fall all to pieces. God, you'll take care of me. So I'm out of a vehicle for a little bit. God will provide one for me. And he got himself a Mercedes. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for that. Amen. He's in high cotton now, buddy. Amen. Praise God. God works for good in our lives, church. Be strong in that. Isaiah chapter 43. We're just going to look at some Old Testament here. Praise God. I'm glad somebody turned the air on. Boy, I was about to melt up here. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Notice here, a familiar passage. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Sheba, if I pronounce that right, for thee. In other words, you may have to cross some rivers in your life. You may have to go through some fiery trials in your life. But God will see you through them, church. God will provide for you. Don't fret when the problem comes, because they're going to come, church. When you hear all this stuff on the news, and I mentioned about homosexuality and stuff, then don't fall apart over that stuff. God's still God.
Yes.
And I'm still His child.
That's right,
yeah. And I'm going to serve Him wherever I'm at. Amen. Wherever I may face. Young people, you got to believe that. You got to sell that stuff in your heart today. God wants what's good for you. God wants what's good for you. He will see you through. Be strong in the faith, church. Be strong in the faith. Philippians chapter 4. Praise God. Verse 6. Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to be abound. And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Trust God, church. Whatever state you're in, be content over it. Be content with what God's given you. If you are not eating, if you're eating cereal, not steak, at least you ain't hungry.
That's right.
Be content.
Right.
You may have a leaky house. Roof, things may be problems. But you got something over your head. Be content. Praise God. Your job may not be the best, brother. A lot of them people don't have any. Any jobs. Amen. Be content. Amen. Your boss man may be the meanest snake there is. Praise God. Is that true? Okay. Praise God. But you're just going to trust God. Amen. God, you help me to smile back at Him. Amen. I'm going to be content with what you give me. Amen. Trust God. Will you do that?
Yes.
In these last days, Whatever, I'm telling you, it's just going to seem like there's going to be a problem after problem, Brother Carl. Just like Job, he got news and here comes somebody else. Here comes the servant, told him something else wrong. And then he thought, get that out of his mouth and here comes another one. And it's going to seem like problem after problem. I am not going to fret over this stuff no more. I am not going to sit here and try to figure out what I'm going to do. God, what do you want me to do with it? I'll do my best. I'm going to trust you.
Praise God.
Praise God. And whatever I face tomorrow, you'll see me through it.
Yes.
Amen. You believe that? Stand with me this afternoon. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Can you just raise your hand a minute and this is worship God and thank God for His goodness to us. Father, we thank You, Lord. God, I thank You, Lord Jesus.